Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. From July 1941 to July 1945, more than 17,000 men and women toiled in a sprawling munitions factory in Scarborough, manufacturing nearly 250 million fuses and primers to be used by Allies in World War II. Tonight's guest has written Bomb Girls, Trading Aprons for Ammo, A History of the Jico Plant. Barb Dixon is on the phone with us from her home office in Scarborough to talk about the book. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to Let It Fly from the Kev Moore CD, In the Blood. Into our conversation with Barb Dixon. Good evening, Barb.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Now, let's give our listeners a little bit of information about you, because I'm not sure if many of the people that will be listening to that have come across you before. How did you get interested in writing?
I loved writing back in high school, and then I thought that I should do something that would pay the bills, so I went to university and got my education in business and in computer science. And I had a very successful career with a large IT company. I won't name any names. But then I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 1992. I went on long-term disability. And at the ripe old age of 30 years old, I had to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. So I went back to my high school love. I picked up writing.
Mm-hmm. Did it ever occur to you that at that point in time that this would be what you would do from that point on to, one, at least just do something, and then two, of course, to pay the bills?
I don't think I ever imagined it actually paying the bills. I'd heard, stories about starving writers. Unless you're a J.K. Rowling, you're not going to make a whole lot of money. It was more for purpose. I needed a purpose. I needed a reason to get up every day. And I discovered that it was really something I was passionate about, was putting my thoughts into words, even if no one was going to read them.
Now, as you've developed your writing and even going back as far as high school and that, who have been some of the people that have, and other writers who have been influences on you?
So this is, I'm going to sound like a really old lady when I mention this name, but I grew up on Grace Livingston Hill. And I just adored her writing. I adored her voice and her style, and I gobbled up her books as much as I could while I was growing up. And even today, if I see a Grace Livingston Hill book in a used bookstore, it's in my hand, and I'm walking around with it. So she was a big influence to me.
What was it about her style that attracted you? And I remember Grace Livingston Hill as well. I don't think I read a whole lot of her material, but I was very familiar with the fact that she was out there.
Yeah, so she was very prolific, and she wrote back in like the 1920s, First World War type of story, and I just loved the history, the era that she wrote in, and she just had, it was her voice. It was something, the romances that she wrote were sweet, they were enduring. You were really pulling for the characters. She developed her characters very well, and it was right up until the very last page. You weren't sure if they were going to get together or not. But, you know, the last page came, and yes, there they were, in love, declared, and they were going to live happily ever after. And I love that.
Yeah. Well, with your own writing, I mean, you've written in a number of different genres. You've got a fiction novel out there. You've got nonfiction work that's been out there, and now with something like Bomb Girls, there's a historical aspect. Is there one genre that you prefer to the other, or is it just whatever catches your attention at that particular point in time that you want to get out?
It's the latter. It's whatever really weighs on my heart and mind, and it's just a passion, what I want to write about next. I do miss my fiction writing. I've written 6 novels, and there's a beautiful outlet, a creative outlet there. In nonfiction and writing Bomb Girls, it was much more structured and much more really heavy in research. It took 10 years to write that book. So I've been away from my fiction writing for a long time, and I would like to get back into it, but this Bomb Girls has opened other doors for me. So I'm starting to steer toward other nonfiction books at this point. So I'm kind of, I'm in a quandary. You know, I'm mourning my fiction writing, and yet I feel compelled to pursue other nonfiction projects.
Yeah, and I want to get into some details about Bomb Girls in a few minutes, but I guess the other thing I want to ask you about is as you've been going through, and I remember, I think it was Mountains for Maddie, which is one of the books I read of yours, is there was a really strong faith component to it. How does your faith play into any of the works that you've done, whether it's fiction, nonfiction, all these different genres that you've written in?
Well, I'd like to think that it's part of who I am, my faith, and I'd like to think that it does come out in my writing. I wrote many years for the Salvation Army and other national publications, and there was a very strong faith component in that kind of writing. My fiction work, they all have a faith component in them, and even Bomb Girls, you know, it's a historic piece. But I'd like to think that when people read it, they get a sense of how important it is, the principles of life, the integrity of people, the dedication. So those really, the virtues and the morals of a faith-based people during, you know, the Second World War. I'd like to think that comes out.
Well, when you talk about it and you talk about, you know, the number of works you've done and how, you know, at 30 you had to change gears and you took up writing again. And what is it about writing that keeps you going, that keeps you wanting to write? What I guess, the for lack of a better question, is what makes you want to write?
Yeah, it's a good question. My daughter, my youngest daughter, is also a writer. She's a beautiful writer, and her and I have these conversations quite regularly. And it's a drive, it's a passion. And when you have a passion about something that you believe in so much, I can only go maybe 2 or 3 days taking a break from writing, and then I get, I don't want to use the word, but it's, I get irritated. I get irritable without having any outlet creatively to put my words, to put my thoughts, to decompress, as it were, to just put it to paper, or in today's words, online, in your blog or on your website, or just writing, free form writing in a document. It's a passion, and I can't help but write. I have to go to it. I have to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that from a number of writers. It's that whole aspect of you can't not write.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't not. You must.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with author Barb Dixon. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Some will say love is nothing but a crazy fantasy. We waste away every hour in the what will be. The better days, the future's in our hands, and we still hold the key. That's okay, an open book is what I want my life to be. Life to be.
You've been listening to Happy Ever After from Kev Morse's In the Blood CD. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to continue our conversation with author Barb Dixon. Talking specifically about Bomb Girls, where did the whole idea for Bomb Girls come from?
So I have born, raised, lived in Scarborough, Ontario. It used to be a suburb of Toronto, but it's now part of it, just the metropolitan Toronto. I've lived there, here. For over half a century, so I'm giving my age away a little bit, but I thought I knew Scarborough. I come from humble roots. We didn't always have rent money, so we moved around a lot, and by the time I was in my early 20s, I lived in 14 different houses in Scarborough, so I knew Scarborough. I knew Toronto. I was very proud of my city, And imagine my surprise when I discovered that there were over 4 kilometers of tunnels under the city. 4 kilometers of tunnels. Wait a minute, not in Scarborough. Maybe somewhere else, but not in Scarborough, because I would have known about that, and I didn't know about that. So I was intrigued. I was driven to find out who had these tunnels, where they were, and how did I get into them. And through some digging, pardon the pun, I discovered that they belonged to a top-secret World War II munitions plant. That was now abandoned, obviously. We're not at war. We've been at peace for many years. But the site still remains. And it was right there in Scarborough, South Scarborough. So I did some more digging, asking around, and I kind of asked around my within my circles of influence, and I was introduced to a woman who actually worked in the plant. She was an elderly lady, and I had the wonderful opportunity to interview her. And when by the time the interview was over, it was no longer about tunnels and the factory. It was about the history and about this amazing woman's story. And then I asked her where I could buy the book, and she said, well, I don't know. I've never been interviewed other than by you. And so then I asked around. I did some research online and discovered that no book had been written. And at that point, I had interviewed 2 other ladies, so I had 3 interviews, and I realized that there was a gap in the Canadian history in World War II, and I needed to write the book for these ladies' sake, if for nothing else, to get their record, their oral record, onto paper, and somehow, I didn't even know how I would get it published, but somehow get it out there so that other people could read about the tremendous, phenomenal contribution that these ladies made winning the Second World War. It was kind of like the untold story of unsung heroes.
And you found it, too, as you were going through that whole research project, the reason there had never been any book is because it was... There was so much secrecy around around the plant and around what people were doing, and the people who worked there had to, you know, swear an oath that they wouldn't tell anybody what was going on and what they were doing. So how did you get past that barrier of secrecy, this 50, 30, 40, 50 years after the war had ended?
It was a little funny story. Even in my research, I discovered that there is a bomb girl. She's still alive. She's close to 100 years old, and she lives in Nova Scotia. And her name was given to me, and I approached the family and her to be interviewed for the book, and she refused. And when I asked, very politely why she had turned me down, the family came back and said she still believes that she's under oath. And she will take her experiences of working at the munitions plant to her grave because she believes that once she made that oath, it was for life. So that's just a little story on the side. But basically, after the war, the government destroyed almost everything. So the only material that even survived around this particular top secret plant was held in the family of the president and vice president who owned the company. It was just their personal records that they had taken when they left that war work and went on to more work. They were a mining company, so they went back into mining. And it was just their personal records. And when the fellow died, R.N.P. Hamilton, when he passed away, his wife and family donated those personal records to the Archives of Ontario. So that's the only record that's out there of this plant.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of information here and there. Scarborough Archives has a little bit. But for the most part, the Ontario Archives is the only spot where you're going to find anything.
Wow. Yeah, some people might say that writing about a munitions factory might be an odd choice for a Christian writer. Did anybody ever sort of question why you were doing something on this type of topic as you were going through the research and the writing process?
No. If anything, people were excited with the prospect that I was tackling a subject that was part of Canada's history, and it was part of world history in terms of the evil in the world and how we were able to overcome that evil, but at a great cost,
mm-hmm.
great human cost. Estimates of 60 to 80 million people died during the Second World War, both civilian and military personnel. And part of me feels very strongly that by getting this book published, by it getting out there, and even the world today, and all the things, the rumor of war and wars, somehow we have to get the message out that mm-hmm. we can't do this again. What happened in World War II can't happen again. Not on that kind of scale, but it just can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, because it shows dishonor to all the men and women who gave their lives in sacrifice so that the world could live in freedom. It we're dishonoring that legacy if we don't educate and talk about and remember.
Mm-hmm.
Don't remember, and we might forget.
Now, you've talked about the fact that it took you 10 years to write the book. You've talked about some of the challenges that you faced as you were going through it with, you know, finding out information. You still had some of the people who felt that they couldn't tell the secrets of what was going on in the book, in the factory. What were some of the highlights? What kept you going over those 10 years to actually, you know, finally get the book out?
The excitement of meeting the families of workers that worked at the plant, that they're reaching out through my website and through other avenues. Just their excitement to know that perhaps their mom or their dad or their brother or a grandmother, their stories were going to be told, and they would validate, you know, this work that had gone on so many years ago in their family and yet had not been commemorated in any way. Mm-hmm. And just meeting those people, the phone calls, the interviews, you know, the coffees, all the coffees that I had all over Ontario, meeting people, you know, my trips to Ottawa and Montreal, I had the lovely, lovely opportunity to interview the Hambleton family, and they're the ones who actually owned the company that ran the plant in Scarborough. It's the General Engineering Company of Canada Limited, and just a lovely, lovely family, and I had the opportunity to interview them. So it was that kept me going, was the meeting people and hearing their stories, and every story that I would hear, they would bring something new to the book. You know, there was always something new, a new memory, a new, you know, wow, really? That happened? And it would end up in the book. So that's what kept me going. That mm-hmm. and, of course, the love and support of my family.
Yeah. Well, we need to take one final break, and then we're going to come back and finish our conversation with author Barb Dixon. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Take me as I am, or don't take me at all. It's hard for you to understand every time you see me falling down. I'll wallow for a while, and when I come around, heart'll be out on my sleeve. Thought that you would know by now. If only you could see through my eyes for just one day. Look into my troubled mind and wonder why you made this way. Wanna run away from myself until I'm free, but I never will escape the shadows of my history.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to In the Blood, the title track from the In the Blood CD by Kev Morse. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Barb Dixon. Barb, what's been the reaction to the book so far?
Well, it's been phenomenal. Just phenomenal. It's very much surpassed my expectations. When I wrote this book, like I mentioned, it was for the women. It was for the workers to commemorate and to leave a beautiful legacy to them. But the book has grown a great set of legs, and it's just running. I love the word of mouth that's happening. So the book is getting passed from person to person, and people are talking about it. And I've received much valued feedback, again, via my website mm-hmm. and personally, that this book has really touched a lot of people. I hope it continues. I hope that the book continues, into the future.
Have you had other people who have come forward and said, oh, I was part of that too, and here's something that I remember that you didn't have in the book?
I felt very, very minimally. One person has come forward that has said, I wish you had have interviewed me because I could have given you this and that kind of thing. And my response to that is, great. I'm still collecting stories. I still want to hear more because, once this generation is gone, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
The oral stories are gone. And so we need someone to record them. And if I can get it published, I will. I will work to get it published.
So where can people find out more about Bomb Girls and your the other works you've talked about, the six novels and things like that?
So Bomb Girls is available at Chapters and Indigo. You can go into any store, and hopefully there'll be a couple copies. If not, they'll be very happy to order one for you. You can also get it through Amazon, both the ebook and the hard copy, as well as at my publisher, Dundurn. So that's the way you can get a hold of Bomb Girls. My novels, not in print, I don't believe, at the moment, but that's something that, if I can get back into my fiction writing, I would like to pursue and get them into print again.
Right. And do you have a website where people can track things down as well?
I do. www.barbaradixon.ca.
Great. Barb, thanks very much for your time tonight. Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Barb Dixon. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. Be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter @SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.